Today's reading is from Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to chapter 5, verse 5. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding promises, the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, just for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We boast in the hope of that glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know through suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, love. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, family, it's just good to have some time together around the Word of God, and I pray that as we just take these moments that there will be something that's refreshed in you, and something perhaps that the Lord will speak into your heart that you would take hold of. And I can't help but declare that over this period where I've looked at the way the Spirit of God works in our lives, and the way he has worked in people's lives down through the ages, I've been impressed afresh, perhaps like never before, how loving and how gentle is the kindness of God, the Holy Spirit. And in singing that song for the boys and girls about Jesus strong and kind, and I think we struggle a little bit with the idea of power and strength, but also with gentleness and kindness. And sometimes I think that they don't go together. As we were praying earlier, Jeff prayed, and I think he mentioned something about the power of the Spirit of God, but also the gentleness of the Spirit. And I had in my notes here about the fact that that God is consistent and faithful and caring, he's patient and he's powerful, and we see that even in the scripture that's been read today. And you might think, well, it's a kind of a strange place to start in verse 17, and a strange place to finish in chapter 5 of verse 5 of chapter 5. And yes, you could read well beforehand, and you could read on, and I would encourage you to do that, because it's a picture of something wonderful that God has done. It's an old story, but it's actually a new story. And it can be for you today a new story. It can be for you today an important part of your story, because God has been doing this. His Spirit has been working in the lives of men and women down through the centuries. And even what he did in and through Abraham was a mighty thing. And Abraham, like us, and Sarah, his wife, you know, they saw what and heard what God had said that he would do in them and through them, and promised even in their old age that they would have a son and that Abraham would be the father of nations. And, you know, they kind of wrestled with that and found it hard to grasp. I love the way that it's put here. It's kind of recognizing that, look, the odds are stacked against us for this to happen. And I love where it says in the NIV, it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. And another translation that I was reading, it says, you know, against hope, he believed for him to become the father of many nations. And in a sense, it would look humanly completely impossible. And sometimes I think we look at what God says and we wonder about the ordinariness of our lives. We wonder about the circumstances that we're in. We wonder about the week that we've just had. And we can superimpose our ideas and our wants and our needs and on God, and we can expect him to come, or we can want him to come through for us in ways that that are more about our ideas of what God should do than actually recognizing what he does do. And I'm so glad that he is powerful and patient. I'm so glad that he's been powerful in my life and also patient in my life, and I wonder whether we might see that wonderful gentleness of the Spirit of God working in it. I love here where it says that Abraham he believed and was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. God still has power to do what he promises he will do. And you know, when Jesus said to his disciples that you know, in not many days hence, you know, I'm going to be taken up from you, but I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. And the disciples wouldn't have understood fully what they were waiting for. They wouldn't have understood fully what God had promised to do, which he was well able to do. And yet they took Jesus at his word and they obeyed that and they waited. And, you know, I love it that as we shared last week out of Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, where, you know, the disciples were there and Jesus said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. And they were. One of the other readings that we put out there, Louise was quite studious, and she said, I want to know the Bible readings. This was Friday morning at prayer meeting. I said, yeah, no, I've got to get them to you. And I dutifully did just within the hour, I think, just about. But I was wrestling as to where we'd be sharing from. And so hence you've got the two. We had the two options. We had the Romans chapter 4 and 5, and we had Acts chapter 3. And we see the lovely working of the Spirit of God as Peter and John had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and there'd been the proclamation of Jesus and why he came, and the gospel was preached, and we see many people responding to the gospel. And you know, almost the very next thing that they're doing is they're on their way to the temple. And as you would have read, if you read Acts chapter 3, you could read on into Acts chapter 4 and you could see the same story unfolded. And I love the fact that they're in this ordinary kind of step. They're just walking to the temple. They'd been going to the temple many times. They might have seen this guy sitting there. The welfare system was such, if you got a good spot as a beggar, then you probably could do okay. You could probably, you know, have your needs met by people's kindness and compassion. We probably feel a bit awkward about beggars now. But here were Peter and John, and they were on the way to the temple, and they see this guy there, and he looks at them and they look at him, and there's this sense of care and compassion that they have, but they've got no money as such to offer him, and they They said, and we're probably, if you've been to Sunday school in my era, you would have sung this song, "Where silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And you know, when you probably haven't had a lot of experience in healing ministry, they'd seen Jesus do it, but here the Spirit of God enables them to do something really amazing, something tremendously kind. And they reach down their hand and they take hold of this man's hand and they lift him up, and strength comes to his ankles and he rises up and he walks. He's excited. He jumps around because, for the first time in his life, perhaps his legs are working. Here he was struggling with disability, and they didn't have a national disability scheme. And here he was. God had done something amazing in him and had used these two disciples who were probably equally amazed. But what happens immediately after that? The working of the Spirit in the lives of these two blokes in an ordinary, well, what became an extraordinary act of kindness. They speak the good news of who Jesus is and why he came. And I can't reiterate enough the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the fact that the Holy Spirit is available in the life of believers today. You've been sealed into the family of God by his Spirit. But we can be people who know the power of God in our lives to be gospel people. To be people who with patience and with the power of God can explain something so that this old story can be a new story for somebody. For this man's life, it was a new story. And we find Peter and John get a great crowd. There's a great crowd of people come running to see what has happened with this guy standing up and walking. And so the gospel is explained again. And in verse 17 of Acts chapter 3, it says, "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be forgiven, that your sins may be wiped out." Isn't that the best news? That your sin, your offense against God, you doing the best you can, trying as hard as you can, which will never make it, your sin may be wiped out, and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that you too might know God's salvation and the power of his Spirit in their lives. Now they end up getting a night's free accommodation out of this. I was saying this morning when we met that Jared and Linda have just started serving with us, and I fully expected them to be here today. And how would it be if I got a phone call to say, "Michael, we can't be there today, we're in the lockup." We were explaining some things to some people about Jesus and they locked us up. Now, we don't normally expect that kind of reaction and persecution to happen. And yeah, Jared and Linda are here and that's good. I think they have been explaining things about Jesus to people in the week. But, we don't fear that kind of response. But that's what happened to John and Peter. And so... they get drawn before the powers that be the very next day. This is in chapter 4 of Acts. And you think, why did we read the Bible reading out of Romans chapter 4 and 5? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. But it says, "The next day the rulers," and this is in verse 5 of chapter 4, "the next day the rulers and the elders and the teachers of law," that's all the religious heavyweights, "that were seriously out of sorts because the disciples are still talking about Jesus, who they thought that they'd gotten rid of. Ananias the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas and John and Alexander and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them about, 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit," notice that, "filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and everyone else in Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you completely healed. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So do you get the gist? Do you get the gist? The fact that when the Spirit of God is in the life of a believer, he does a lot of things in our lives. He brings about some lovely fruit. And we shouldn't be surprised that his work in our lives is loving and gentle, because if the fruit of the Spirit is an indication of the character of the Spirit, the character of Christ, of God, that there is love and there's joy and there's patience and there's kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness. I miss peace. See, my fruit are getting mixed up here. Thanks for that, Shane. And self-control. You know, if those are the characteristics that exist within God, within the Son, and within the Spirit, then we oughtn't be surprised at his gentle manner in our lives. We ought not be surprised at the love that we experience from God. And that's why I turn to this scripture, because we see the wonderful things that God does. We see the main part of the story is that God would want to justify you. He will want to make you stand justly before him. I was quite upset here probably a little over a year ago. Barry and I had been up to a friend's place, and he'd been sanding this beautiful piece of timber that had been given to us. And it was a bit longer than my trailer. And so Barry and I, we just laid it in the trailer. It was a very heavy piece of red gum. And we were traveling down to bring it back to my place. And anyway, as we're traveling past the Central Hotel, I saw the highway patrol were parked there. And immediately it came to my mind that, oh dear, this piece of timber is sticking past the end of the trailer. And I'm fairly sure the number plate was not sticking down, so I did the smart thing. I turned quickly to the left up Mechanic Street, so I didn't just keep going straight ahead where it'd be really obvious that I had broken the law. And I carefully looked in the rear vision mirror, as you do at times like this, and found that the highway patrol had pulled out of where they'd parked and followed me up Mechanic Street. And they dutifully did their job. And despite the fact that Barry and I lifted the thing up and put the tailgate up and got it right, I still got a fine. Well, this upset me, because I could see all the other people that were breaking the law around me, and the police were dealing with me, and it was only such a minor thing. And I rang my good friend Luke. Only a slight abuse of friendship. Who indicated that I should thank Constable, I won't mention his name, for doing his job so well. I did apologise to Luke a little bit later on, but I was annoyed because I felt justified. We were doing something good. The bloke that we just brought the timber from had been facing some difficulties. I had every right to be absent-minded. I could justify myself so easily. And we do that, don't we? And we think we can come before God and say, God, I can stand justly before you because I've been so much better than those other people. But the amazing thing about it is that God has taken the step to justify us. And the amazing thing about Abraham so long ago, so long before Jesus, he was made just. He was credited with righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. He believed God against the odds. And you might live in a time where believing in God is against the odds. Well, I tell you what, you do. A friend of mine rang me up during the week in his workplace where he cares for people, and he was going into a situation where the agencies that had worked with this person with disabilities who believed in God thought she was crazy because she talks to God. People probably might think you're crazy and you could need assessment because you talk to God. But God has made the way open for you to be in a relationship where everything is made right. And that's the exciting thing about these verses that we've read. It's an old story, but my friends, it can be a new story for you today. Jesus was delivered over to death, it says in verse 25, for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. And that's why you can't start chapter 5 without reading a part of chapter 4. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, it's amazing that we could be justified, isn't it? The only way I could be justified with my traffic infringement was by me paying the fine and waiting to get my points back. Not by calling my friend who didn't call the constable and say, oh, look, he's a mate of mine. You know? But the amazing thing about God is that God takes the initiative and he wants to justify you. You should mark that down. I'm being justified. If you've believed that what Jesus has done, you needed doing for you, if you've believed that and hold on to that, then you're justified. You're made just. What else have you got? You've got peace with God. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Isn't that a great thing? It's a great thing for Barbara Smiths there as she's riding a push bike one day. She's in hospital that afternoon. Her body is just not recovering as much as we would have loved for her to recover. But it's an amazing thing that she can just rest in the fact that she's been justified and she's got peace with God. And that she's gained access into this faith by God's grace in which she could stand. And when her son whispers in her ear and says, Mum, do you want to go and see Jesus? She can with a last word just say, yes. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And you might think, well, I'm expecting I've got a few more weeks in me at least. Well, I'm guessing Barbara probably thought that too. But it says this about the reality of life and about the reality of facing difficulty. Because yes, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can rejoice in the fact that we can know God now and know him for eternity and be on this journey. But not only so, it says in verse 3, it says, not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings. And we know that sufferings produces perseverance. And rejoicing in our suffering literally means having a sense of confidence and joyfulness as we look forward. And I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know whether it's been a big week, a difficult week, a disappointing week. I don't know whether there's been frustration and anxiety and all sorts of things that could have been happening in our lives. But it says we've got something in which we have confidence and we can live with a sense of joy, real joy, even in the face of difficulty, of suffering, of tribulation. There's actually something born in our lives through these difficulties which produces perseverance. And then perseverance brings about character. What kind of character might that be? Well, I'm wondering about whether that character is love. One of the things that has been impressed on me of late and in the face of difficulty, you know, it's easy to love when everything's just sweet and cruisy and naturally just good. But do we have the capacity and do we have the character to be able to love when things are not good? And that's why we can't bear this fruit by ourselves. Our old nature goes, yeah, I love the people that love me. But what about the people where there's difficulty, where it's hard, where there's misunderstanding, where there's angst? Well, that's where this character of the Spirit, this good fruit that can only be born because we're connected to Jesus. We've been grafted into the vine. We're His. And this fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control shows up. And where this character is developed, there's clearly hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us. Why? Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit He has given us. And I see that as an amazing thing. I see that as a thing that can truly refresh our hearts when we face all sorts of challenging realities. I don't know whether it's in you serving or ministering in your family context. I don't know whether it's in you ministering and serving in your neighborhood. I don't know whether it's ministering and serving in your church, whether it's the local church here or the local church that you're part of, if you're visiting with us today. But I see that the working of the Spirit is essential for us, and we need His love poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, this one having been given to us. I think we need to be ones who would trust God, who is well able to do what He has promised. I think we need to trust Him who is at work within us, who credits us with His righteousness. We need to trust Him who justifies. We need to trust Him who gives us peace. We need to trust the one who gives us access by faith into this grace in which we can now stand. We need to trust the one who gives us the hope of the glory of God. We need to trust the one who grows in us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. My friends, I wonder whether you'd let this old story be a new story. I wonder whether you'd let these, what you see written here as old experiences, be real experiences for you today. Because the Spirit of God would take these very characteristics or nature traits of Christ and would grow them in your life, and you would see both His power and His patience, His strength and His gentleness at work in you, and your life will be something that will radiate something beautiful in the world that you're placed in. And it will give you something that you can rejoice over no matter what the circumstances. I wonder, as you look and you sit and you reflect and you meditate on God's word, whether you would find yourself caught up in the fact that the power of God shows up in our lives when we trust in Christ, and it gives us a quiet and a peace and a patience that can be reflected into so many different situations that He puts us in. And that we would not misunderstand His power, and we just think it is about great and dynamic things that perhaps people notice, but so quite often it's about quiet things that take place in us simply being obedient to where He has us, doing what He would have us do, in Jesus' name. Let me pray. Father, we pray that the truth of Your word would make sense, because, Lord, We know that you have not left us simply with a written book, but you've left us with a spirit that would take us and lead us into all truth. And Lord, even if there are things that we have read or things that have been said which are more than we can now bear, oh Father, I pray that by the working of your Spirit in each one here, I pray, Lord, that you would take and remind us and take the things that Jesus has said, take the things that have been given here in your word, and that you would apply them to our hearts and cause us to know you better. Cause us to trust you more. Cause us, Lord, to believe that you are God who keeps his promises and is well able to do what you have promised. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that is at work in us to will and to act according to your good purpose. We thank you, Lord, that the work that you start in us, you carry on to completion. Lord, we look to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can believe and we can trust and we can rely on the fact that you have done everything to justify us. That you've done everything so that we can be credited with the righteousness of Jesus. And that we don't have to work for that. But we just have to accept that that's what you have done for us. Lord, bring the times of refreshing that we need. Lord, lead us into the place of rejoicing in the hope that we have, because we put our trust in you, O God, the risen King. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you in your name. Amen.